Coming up today, teacher, author, and radio host Dr. Ray Pritchard shares how to live morally pure lives and engage the culture in a way that draws them to Christ.
If you can speak out with tenacious, winsome courage, you can actually win people to Christ, and you can attract people to your church who otherwise would just drive by and never give you the time of day.
Then we'll trace the connection between our food and environment and the nation's declining health and fertility rates. Jordan Shambly, staff writer for The Stand magazine, will stop by.
There's not a whole lot of information just readily available from mainstream science that says, hey, maybe be careful when you consume this or use this in your household. But these things do have an effect on our overall health, and reproductive health is a part of that.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, welcome to The Stand Radio this weekend. It's good to have you along. A startling headline appeared recently from Barna Research that showed that over half of practicing Christians admit that they use pornography. That is a huge number, and the consequences cannot be overstated. Here to provide some insight into that and other issues is Dr. Ray Pritchard. In addition to being co-host on AFR's Today's Issues, he's the president of Keep Believing Ministries and is a frequent conference speaker and author with over 31 books to his credit. He has over 50 years of ministry experience, and so he's able to bring a real shepherd's perspective into issues like this. Dr. Pritchard, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be with you.
What is your first reaction to hearing a headline like this? Majority of professing Christians admit to using pornography.
I am completely unsurprised. I am old enough at this point in my life. I'm old enough to remember when pornography was not so easy to find. Old enough to remember back when you would go to one of these convenience stores and it was kept under the counter. The world has changed. The internet is a mixed blessing. We all understand that. I mean, we couldn't live without the internet. We're all hooked up to it one way or the other. And I've got to say this, the pornographers of the world, they figured out the power of the internet before we did. They figured out that they could take their moral decadence, their oceans of perversion, they could put it on the internet, and they figured out that they could reach the world with their pornography quicker, I think, than we did, that we could use the internet to get the good news of Jesus out to the world. So that said, I'm not surprised that the number is so high, because let's face it, Jeff, anytime you go on the internet today, the bad stuff is right there. I mean, it's right there. It's one click away. And it doesn't matter whether you're 60 years old or 16 years old, or, and I'm sad to say this, 6 years old or 7 years old, little kids are exposed to things routinely. I have 11 grandkids. My grandkids live in a world where they are routinely exposed to things that I never heard about until, and I mean the moral decadence of this world. They're routinely exposed to it. And they are, my grandkids, I should say, are being raised in fine Christian homes, but it's the world in which we're living. So I am not surprised by it, because let's face it too, pornography is big business. They wouldn't do it. They're not doing it just for corruption purposes. There's billions and billions of dollars flowing from the stream of pornography. So point one is, I am not surprised. And I think my point too would be, we're not going to be able to win this battle just by preaching against it. And I am all in favor of pastors speaking against it, but we're going to have to find ways to put the warning out, to erect the fences. There's a lot of good software that Christians can use, and I am all in favor of that kind of software. And we're going to have to I want to talk in a minute, just a second, about the expulsive power of a new affection. That's a phrase from Thomas Chalmers of Scotland, very famous sermon, but he's exactly right. You don't get rid of a bad desire simply by preaching against it. You get rid of moral filth by bringing something better into the heart. When the clean water comes in, the moral filth has to go out.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that. I'm so glad that you mentioned that quote from Thomas Chalmers, because that's where our hope lies in this battle, and none of us are immune to that temptation, of course. In your pastoral ministry, Dr. Pritchard, what are some of the effects that you have seen in the lives of people that have been caught up in pornography?
It has a way of deadening the soul, deadening the heart. Even Christian men that I have known, men I have been in Bible studies with, you see it when they, first of all, it can never satisfy. Somebody said that lust is the craving for salt by a man dying of thirst. It promises something. You got to think about that for a minute. The craving for salt by a man dying of thirst. It promises something it can never deliver. So you watch the video and you think it's going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. It's not going to satisfy. You watch it again, it satisfies even less. And the pornographers know that. That's why they draw you in and draw you in and draw you in until finally it has pornography. It's one of the devil's great tools to destroy this generation. The devil knows what he's doing. So I have seen marriages corrupted, destroyed, families broken up because pornography got in. And without being too specific here, I am thinking of a dear friend who knew better, who saw his marriage destroyed. And you know how he was discovered? Because he got involved in some of this stuff. And he was actually sitting in Sunday school, a good Sunday school class, I should say, texting to these, quote, women that he had met somewhere. His wife found out about it. It was the end of his marriage. A good man. He did love the Lord, but got in that trap and at least at that point could not get out. So I think we ought to all be very much warned. And I want to say, let him who thinks he stands take heed, mm-hmm. lest he falls, Jeff, because you and I are as prone to that as anybody else.
I want to mention a couple of resources because I do want to say that there are some things that we can do to put safeguards in our lives, and you may have some of those from your pastoral ministry. I hope you'll mention those. I would mention purelifeministries.org. Pure Life Ministries has been associated with AFA over the years, and they're a great organization. So I hope you take that web address down and visit that website, purelifeministries.org. The other is covenanteyes.com. And Covenant Eyes is software that we use in our home that we encourage. It's accountability software, so there's no anonymity when you're browsing on your phone. CovenantEyes.com, great solution there. Dr. Pritchard, any other suggestions just for practical guardrails that men and women can put up in their lives?
You use the word accountability. It is so important. Jeff, let me speak as a man to men. Because I understand pornography is a problem for women as well, very much so. But I want to speak as a man to men. We need somebody who can look us in the eyes and ask us the hard questions we don't want to answer. Back in the days of Promise Keepers, I led a Promise Keepers group of great, great guys. But we just had the agreement that Dwayne or Alex or Jeff could say anything to me they wanted. I was their pastor, but they knew they could say anything they wanted to me. They could ask me any question. And I'm thinking of those guys, Jeff. They were good friends, but they were tough. They were, you know, tough friends. So if they thought I was trying to weasel out of it, they would not. You need a friend who will not let you weasel out. He will ask you a question. He will love you enough to make you answer it. And then he will walk with you. If you've been down the wrong road in terms of looking, have you looked at something? Have you read something? Have you watched something you shouldn't have watched? And I think, by the way, the Covenant Eye software is tremendous and I highly recommend it. But beyond that, I recommend that men, if you try to fight this battle alone, you are going to be in trouble. You are going to be. Yeah, I'm not strong enough, Jeff. You're not strong enough. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We need brothers and sisters who will walk with us. And I got some guys in my life who will ask me the hard questions every Christian man needs some friends like that.
Very, very good. Let's talk about some of the ways that we can redirect our affections. And you mentioned the quote from Thomas Chalmers earlier, the expulsive power of a new affection. Follow up on that theme, if you will, Ray, and tell us about some of the things that you counsel people or you put before believers to sort of redirect their affections toward the Lord.
Let me give a little mental image here. Let us imagine you have some kind of jar, like a mason jar, okay? And let us suppose it is filled with the filth of this world. It is filled with excrement. It is filled with dirt. It is filled with the most foul smelling stuff on earth. It is full of poison. It is the kind of thing that is ugly to look like. It is foul to smell. You would never want to pick it up. And here's the question. How do you get all that grunge and dirt and foul poison and excrement? How do you get it out of that jar? Well, there are two ways. Number one, you can reach your hand down in there and you can start dragging that stuff out. And you know what? That will work to some extent. But the only problem is you get that stuff on your hand, right. You get it on your arm, you've just moved it from one place to another. And you know what? No matter how careful you are, you're never going to get all of it out. Now, let's suppose that we have a hose, a fire hose, if you will, hooked up to an artesian spring of 100% pure spring water. Now you take that hose and you turn on the faucet and out comes the clear water. Now put that hose down at the bottom of that jar. What's going to happen? As the clean water comes in, the sludge must go, yeah. The dirt must go, the poison must go, the excrement must go, all the evil must go. That's what Chalmers meant, that we will never get rid of the evil simply by trying hard on our own. We need the power. He called it the expulsive power of a new affection. It just means the power of the love of Jesus Christ flowing through us and in us, that when Jesus and his power is let loose in us, you know what, Jeff, sooner or later, that pornography's got to go. It's got to go. It cannot stay, and it will not stay. So when I talk to people about this, we've got to get away from just saying no, no, no. And by the way, we do have to say no, but we got to go beyond that, because we've discovered, haven't we, we're never going to overcome the pull of pornography just by saying no. What we have to do, I think, is replace it with the power of Jesus Christ in our worship, in our words, in our singing, the reformers talk a lot about the means of grace, the ordinary means of grace, the word of God, the worship of God, the music of God. I'm a big believer in the power of good music. Yeah. You know, Luther said, I sing a hymn and I drive the devil away. Well, I think that's exactly right. Yeah. Fill your heart with good music. Fill your heart with worship. And I don't have enough time to tell this whole story, but I have come over the years to believe in the power, not just of the word of God, but of scripture memory. Scripture memory. That thy word have I hidden in my heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to your word. So I believe you gotta get a hold of the Lord and of his word and of worship and of fellowship. Plunge that hose down deep into your heart. Turn it on. Let the means of grace do the work, and the evil of pornography will eventually be washed away.
Amen. Good word, Dr. Pritchard. Our guest, Dr. Ray Pritchard, president of Keep Believing Ministries. I want to ask you about another headline that has come out, and this one is from Lifeway Research. 4 in 5 U.S. Protestant churchgoers, that's 80%, believe that a pastor must address current issues to be doing their job. The people who disagree with that, 16%, and people who are not sure, 4%. So 80% of the people thinking a pastor must speak on current issues to be doing his job. Does that number surprise you?
Actually, it's pretty encouraging to me. If you had said 40%, that wouldn't have surprised me. You said 80%. I mean, that's an encouraging word from Lifeway. Yep. That at least in our evangelical circles, we've had so many decades of what you might call well-meaning, let's say, well-meaning evangelical pietism, that we're going to preach the word, which I am 1,000% in favor of.
Right.
We're going to go through the book of Romans. We're going to go through the book of Revelation. We're going to read the book of Isaiah, which I am 10,000% in favor of. But we're not going to say anything about the moral issues of the day. I got to tell you, I have had, when we came to the first of the year, first of 2025, God put something on my heart. And this has not happened to me very often, but sometimes God puts a passage. I was looking for a verse for this new year. And I was thinking about some of the great verses in Deuteronomy where the Lord says, do not fear them, don't be afraid, I will be with you. So these great verses in Deuteronomy. And I actually felt the Lord move me over from Deuteronomy to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua's farewell address, that great old man at the end of his life, he is talking to the assembled tribes and all the leaders. He's going to die. Mm-hmm. He's done his job. He's led the people in the conquest of the land. But we know from the book of Joshua, there were still many of the pagans there. The work was done that God had called Joshua to do, but the work of God was not finally finished. And here was the challenge. He said, I want you to put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped. And you stop and think about that. What that means is that for hundreds of years, the true people of God, they had harbored some idols in their heart. Idols from the old days, Ur of the Chaldees and the others. And Joshua basically says, look, you got to put all that stuff away. Yep. And then he says, if you don't want to serve the Lord, that's up to you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the Lord put on my heart that 2025 is a year of destiny, mm-hmm. and a year of decision for the body of Christ in America and around the world. More than ever, we need Christian pastors who will stand up and take the word of God and apply it to the moral and spiritual issues of the day. I'm glad we've got pastors speaking out about abortion. I'm glad we've got pastors speaking up in favor of life, speaking up in favor of traditional marriage, speaking up in favor of religious liberty, speaking up for the cause of Christ. I think that's all to the good.
You've had 27 years in the pastoral ministry. You've had 50 years in ministry overall. When you were in the pulpit, how did you handle issues that were moral, like abortion or homosexual marriage, so-called homosexual marriage, and any number of a host of issues? How did you bring that into your pulpit ministry on a Sunday?
I pastored for 17 years in a suburb of Chicago that was very deeply blue, deeply blue. I pastored a red church in a very deeply blue Chicago suburb. We were outspokenly evangelical in a community. Well, let's put it this way. In the election last November, the community that I pastored in back in, and I was there from 89 to 2005, very liberal. They voted for Kamala Harris over Donald Trump, I think by something like 79%
okay.
to 21, overwhelmingly. Yeah. Okay, this is overwhelmingly Democratic, left-leaning, and I pastored the largest conservative church in that community. Here's what I discovered. I discovered that every time I spoke out with, and here's the phrase that guided my ministry, tenacious, winsome courage. Tenacious means we don't give up. Winsome means with a smile and not with a frown. And courage means we tell the truth. Tenacious, winsome courage. And I admit, sometimes it's hard to get all three of those things together. If you stand up and you speak the word of God and you apply it to the moral crises of the day, but you do it with at least as much of a smile and not with a frown or not with a threat, this is what I discovered. Our church grew. Every time I took a stand, our church grew. And, that was a Chicago heavily Catholic. I would get phone calls from people from these other groups saying, my priest won't say what you're saying. God bless you, Pastor, for speaking out. And would they always attend my church? Not always, but I found out that we had supporters that we didn't even know about because they wanted to see a spiritual leader who believed the Bible, who could articulate issues without losing your temper or making a threatening comment to people. I'm not saying this is the easy thing to do, but I discovered over those 17 years that when I cared enough to take a stand, the local newspapers, which were way over to the left, they became my friends. I knew the editor. I provided a lot of good copy for them. And I discovered that if you can speak out with tenacious, winsome courage, you can actually win people to Christ, and you can attract people to your church who otherwise would just drive by and never give you the time of day.
Tenacious, winsome courage. What a great description of the way to present these issues. Dr. Ray Pritchard, your website is keepbelieving.com. You have a ton of resources on that website. You have books, blogs, podcasts, all kinds of things to help our listeners grow in the Lord Jesus. You also have a book titled An Anchor for the Soul. Tell us a little bit about that book. It's right at the top of your list there.
It's a simple presentation of the gospel. I used to say in Walmart English, for the Walmart shoppers of the world. Those are my people. It's how to go to heaven for people who don't know the Bible and don't go to church, but want to know how to get their sins forgiven. And there's over 1 million copies of that book in print. And we've given them away to prison ministries and other evangelical ministries around the country. So encourage people to come to keepbelieving.com. And if you're interested in an anchor for the soul, you can find out how you can get a copy for yourself.
Very good. Keepbelieving.com. And we would mention that you can hear Dr. Ray Pritchard 2 times per week during the month of February on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that is great. Dr. Pritchard, thank you for being with us, and we wish you the best as you faithfully work to build up believers and share the good news of Jesus.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been great to be with you today.
Up next, Americans are having fewer children. According to new CDC numbers, the U.S. fertility rates have dropped another 2% since 2022. Part of the problem may be that couples are waiting longer to have children, but there may be other issues, a much larger problem. Jordan Chambly is a staff writer for The Stand magazine and has written a great article in this month's edition that looks at the connection between the environment, including our food, and the nation's fertility rates. Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What led you to consider environmental factors in the dropping fertility rates in your article?
Well, environmental factors can cover a lot of things, from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, what the materials are made of, the things that we surround ourselves with that can be electronics, plastics, just anything that has physical contact with us that can leave any sort of lasting effect. And so Becca Collins, my interviewee, was very well-versed in covering all of these things like phthalates, BPA, PFAS, and the effects on reproductive health that those things have that people mostly aren't very familiar with, especially in our culture. Very consumeristic culture where mm-hmm. we just buy a bunch of stuff. We don't look into what's going into them, and there may or may not be very good regulations on how these things are made. And there's not a whole lot of information just readily available from mainstream science that says, hey, maybe be careful when you consume this or use this in your household. But these things do have an effect on our overall health, and reproductive health is a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you use some big words, and I'm not going to ask you to repeat all of them, but what category would you put those things into? Were they synthetic materials? What are some of those?
Well, a lot of these things can actually be found in materials that you might use bathing yourself. So washing your hair, shampoos, just things that you wear even that have synthetic materials in them. These things that are not made for human contact, really. Your body is not created to be in contact with these things for prolonged periods of time or regular use, and they cause interruptions in your body's natural cycles. And that creates a domino effect that then affects reproductive health being one of those things, but a general health issue.
Yeah. Your article focuses a lot on food. There is no shortage of food choices for most Americans in our country. Why doesn't this translate into overall physical health? Because you think we've got all of these choices. Why aren't we healthier? And how does that impact fertility?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you go to the grocery store, you look around, and we have shelves upon shelves of food, but it comes down to what do we choose to eat? And most of us choose what is the cheapest, what most convenient thing, what are our kids going to eat,
right,
you know, what's not going to require so much effort. And those choices generally lead us down the path to choosing the worst foods to eat, the prepackaged stuff, the processed foods, the foods with the most sugar, the most ingredients that might not actually be food, the most food dyes, things like that, just convenient food that we can eat quickly without thinking. And then, of course, we train our bodies to like that stuff and to prefer that stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And so gradually you find a culture that when you have no shortage of food, no shortage of options, we're going to eventually train ourselves to choose the things that fit our tastes better and are more exciting, rather than maybe the things that are best for us but maybe a little bit boring, or at least – I mean, that's subjective, because you can train yourself to like broccoli and train yourself to not like donuts as much. But that's a process, and that's a cultural shift that would be a challenge. It's definitely a challenge.
Are there any practical steps that young women might take if they believe that they are pregnant to sort of be proactive on this?
All right. So Becca Collins actually works in the space as a women's health coach and fertility specialist, really. And she talked about making sure that you know what your progesterone levels are, talking to your doctor about healthy cycles in your body that promote fertility, right, if you're trying to get pregnant, but also considering taking a high quality prenatal vitamin. She had some really good pointers on that in the article. But again, these aren't, you know, this isn't medical advice. The best thing to do is to go to your OB and to talk to them about what the best practices are, what you should do, and to find that education for yourself.
All right. The title of the article is Infertility Crisis in America by Jordan Chambly. Great information in this month's The Stand magazine. Jordan, thanks for your work on this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And next weekend, we'll talk about how to protect against identity theft. Then MD Perkins talks about America's changing attitudes towards so-called same-sex marriage and how churches can respond to that. Today's program is available as a podcast at afr.net. And we encourage you to take advantage of a free trial subscription to The Stand magazine by going to afa.net/The Stand. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.